What's up, everybody? This is Anita Wilson, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
This is your boy, Ben Tankin, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with my buddy, Fred Willis.
What's up, everybody? This is Vincent Tharp of Vincent Tharp and Kenosis, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with my boyfriend Willis. I need you to keep it locked right here.
We're in your house, we're in your car, we are wherever you are, playing you the rest of the best in gospel music.
Hi, my name is the Apostle Burl Howard, and guess what? You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Ernest Pugh, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Keep it locked right here.
Soul Prosper Radio.
There you go.
Stay with me.
Hey, this is Percy Beatty, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Cole, the Rose of Gospel, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. Y'all keep it locked.
My name is Michelle Williams. I love hanging out with Soul Prosper Radio.
This is Kim Burrell, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Fred Willis. You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio. It's Way Back Wednesday, and I am thrilled to be talking to this legend here. He's got so many album credits, so much music accredited to his name. It's a blessing and an honor to have the privilege to talk to him today, talking about more new music coming from him, Elder A. Jeffrey LaValle of Flint, Michigan, New Jerusalem Baptist Church. You know that choir, The Lord Is My Light, and much more. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a privilege to share with you.
Absolutely. It's my privilege to talk to you. I met you by proxy. Actually, that album, The Lord Is My Light, that's a very old album. But I love a number of songs from that album. The Lord Is My Light, They That Wait, I think that was the one that I replayed the most from that album.
Wow.
And yeah, there's so much other music. There's No Greater Love, Keith Pringle and their choir out of L.A., the dancing choir director.
In those days.
In the-
where we are. Let's stand here.
Yeah. But I love that song. You know, again, as I said earlier, so much great music accredited to your pen and your musicianship. I'm honored to be talking to you today.
Thank you. It's a privilege. It's my privilege.
All right. And you have new music coming out. It's entitled Hymns. The limited edition. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, for the past couple of years, I've kind of been inspired to play hymns every morning, and then not every morning, but usually once or twice a week, and then I post them on Facebook just to encourage somebody else, because everybody needs encouragement every now and then. But I mainly stuck with hymns that I liked and hymns that others would request, and all of a sudden I just got this influx of inboxes, you know, can you play this one? Can you do this hymn? Can you do this hymn? And then I started realizing that there is actually a desire for people to still hear him, to still sing him. And I was inspired to just put together a group of my favorite hymns, my favorite songs. I grew up on hymns. My mom sang hymns. My pastor sang hymns. And, you know, so it was a part of me. And I just picked some of my favorite hymns and to the organ and did about 17 of them and put them together in a project called the Hymns, the Limited Edition. And the reason I'm calling it the Limited Edition is because I only pressed so many copies. I only pressed 1,000 copies, and when those 1,000 are gone, the only way they'll be able to get them is via download.
Wow, that is incredible. And you know, hymns right now, there are a few other musicians who have taken on the mantle, who've taken on the burden of preserving hymns. You know,
right.
you're a vital part of the recording industry, the gospel music industry, and you've seen the shift, you know, even away from choir music.
Right.
So it's amazing to hear you know and experience this, and I'm looking forward to getting that. I'm a Facebook friend of yours. And I too look forward to the hymns. I think on Tuesdays and Fridays I would see him a lot. And I love your interpretation. You know, a lot of what I hear is the actual sheet music of the hymns. You say, oh, that's how it goes, you know?
Well, a part of this project was trying to maintain the integrity of the hymn itself. Mm-hmm. Sure, I could have embellished and I could have done hundreds of things to the hymn. But I think that when a writer has finished the song is finished.
Yeah.
Stick to the melody. Stick to it. And that's what I wanted to do with this project. So I tried to really keep the integrity of the hymns and keep them straightforward. A couple of times I got a little carried away, but I tried to rein myself back in and keep it as close to melody as possible. Yeah,
absolutely. So of those 17 selections on the album, what would you say is your favorite, or which selection did you have the best experience with?
I would have to be my favorite hymn, and that's I Need Thee Every Hour. That hymn just speaks to me because I need him every hour.
Yeah.
I cannot exist without the Lord in my life every hour, and I think sometimes we take for granted that he's there until we get in trouble, but he's always there. So this is the hymn that reminds me that, you know, I have a need and he's the one I need, you know, because he can supply all of the other needs in my life. That's right. My all-time favorite hymn.
Wow, that is incredible. That is incredible. So I'm looking forward with great anticipation to hearing this project. I want to talk about also your position at New Jerusalem. You are still at New Jerusalem?
It's 42 years on December 10th.
My good. 42 years.
Yes. I've spent most of my life at this church. Do I regret it? Not one bit. People always talk about seasons.
Yeah.
And you never know how long a season is going to be. It could be 2 weeks. It could be 42 years. It could be 50 years.
Yeah.
But until God moves me from this place, this is where I'll be. And trust me, I've had opportunities to go other places and to do other things. But one thing that I realize is you have to know where God has placed you.
Yeah.
He placed you there for a reason. If you move, you're out of his will.
Mm. That's heavy right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm a minister of music as well. I play, you know, teach and lead the choir and stuff like that. And that's a very sensitive thing, though, you know, and I'm just going to ask you this just to go ahead and jump into, I guess, the spiritual aspect of being in one place and being in the will of God. Would you say that being there at New Jerusalem and being, I guess, in that assignment in that season, this continued season, would you connect any of your success as a musician and, you know, composer? Would you connect that to your faithfulness at New Jerusalem?
I contribute all of my success to my faithfulness at New Jerusalem because God rewards faithfulness. I had a good pastor. And one word that most musicians don't like to hear is the word submission.
Yeah.
But I was submissive to what my pastor wanted because I'm not the pastor.
Yeah.
I work for the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So what his vision was what I tried to assist in. So, to most musicians, you know, that they look at the dollar aspect. The dollar has never bothered me. I've never been a money person. I've never charged anybody for anything I have ever done in the history of doing what I do. I have never set a price because I believe that if I take care of God's business, he'll take care of me. And he's done just that. So I believe faithfulness is required. Has it been easy? No. Have there been times I wanted to walk away? Yes. Have there been times I wanted to walk away? Oh, yeah. Let's be honest. We've all had that feeling. But I know where he placed me. And I know if I left him, my growth would be stymied. So I stay where he's placed me. And when he releases me, that's when I go somewhere else.
Wow. That is incredible. I love that testimony. That's so powerful, though, because so much of the industry has shifted. You know, we had people leaving the church in droves, and, you know, they can be successful in the industry. Well, the industry has shifted now to where people are running back to church.
Right. They're running back to church because the artists are using tracks now.
Right.
They're not using the live bands like they did in my day. Ooh, my day, that sounds so ancient. But they're not doing like they did when I was out with Tremaine and we had live road bands. No, everybody's singing by track now.
Yeah.
So now everybody's trying to get back into church and get these quote-unquote gigs. But it's not a gig. It's not a job. It's a ministry. And as long as you treat it as a gig, you won't respect it as ministry. You'll always treat it as a job, and you'll always look for the paycheck. And sometimes the ministry doesn't come with the paycheck. Sometimes your benefits are in other ways. So you have to be careful how you look at it. When you start looking at it as a gig, that's when you lose out on the ministry aspect.
That is very true, and the Lord will take care of us. I'm just going to say it as a musician. You know, on Sunday, just this past Sunday, we had people, you know, somebody walked up to my wife, and they were like, hey, you know, go shopping, you know.
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
And those are the fringe benefits.
Yes, the fringe, you know? Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the fringe benefits, because doing what we do, a lot of times people don't come to us and say, you blessed my soul, or what you did ministers to my heart. But it only takes one or two to come to me and say, you know, I really appreciate what you did. And it makes all I do worthwhile.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that. You know, being able to touch people through the gift of music that God has given me is an awesome and an humbling experience. And I do not take that for granted, because He didn't have to gift me. He could have given this gift to anybody else, but He chose me, and I owe it to Him to do my best with it. And so many times we say, well, I want to give it back to Him. He didn't give it to us for us to give it back to Him. He gave it to us to give and to share with others. He just wants the glory. He doesn't want our gift. He wants the glory, and that's what we have to give back to Him, is the glory.
Woo! Yes, sir. My God, that was heavy. I'm just gonna tell you now. I'm gonna be sharing that. I'm gonna tag you in the post now, but I do have to share that with somebody else, because I have never heard that. That He don't want it back. He just
God is not an Indian giver.
Wow, preach on this interview.
Why would he give me something and expect me to give it back to Him? He gave me this gift to share with anybody and everybody that I can, willingly. All He is requiring is that I give Him the glory. I mean, even in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And the word admonish simply means to encourage or to uplift. You know, that's my job, to uplift. But the 17th verse is, and whatsoever you do it to the glory of God. So there it is right there for you in a nutshell. It's in the word. It's what we're supposed to do.
My God, today. Yes, sir. I am encouraged on a whole other level. Listen, the hymns thing, yes. But this right here, this is money can't buy that. My Lord, today. That was lovely. I want to keep going, because I want to give you a time for today. But wow, I'm going to pause here, because y'all, that was just incredible. I want you to, y'all, to hang on to that word right there, because we so need that in this day and time. There's a lot of things pulling at us, you know, those of us that minister the gospel, whether it be the preached word
right.
or in song. So that, oh man, right. that's going to sustain us right there.
Well, I try my best. You know, people are, well, why aren't you out there with everybody else? Because that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be at my home church. And even when I go out of town, I try to make it my business to be back at my home church on Sunday morning, because that's where God has placed to me. You know, I'm not worried about competition, because I can't compete with anybody else. I can't. What God has given me, He gave to me. So that's mine. So what He gave to you, that's yours. But if we put it together, we got a wonderful thing. So it's a part of remembering where your gift comes from, you know, where all your blessings come from. And that'll keep you humble. Really will.
Thank you.
To this again, because I'm gonna have to step away from the glory cloud and keep this interview rolling, because my god today. Woo! Wow, you are in the city of Flint, Michigan.
Yes, sir.
And Flint has been in the news since 2014 for the water crisis and so much more, basically an infrastructure failure. Talk about it if you can, the level of ministry going forth, because we know the bad stuff, but we don't hear enough about the positivity going on in Flint, Michigan.
Well, my church is one of the several churches that gives away water. We have a water giveaway every Wednesday. We give away truckloads, I mean, semi-truckloads of water every Wednesday. There are other churches that do it two or three times a week. And this weekend, we're having a dental fair, which we'll be giving away, of course, water and food. And we're also doing what they call a pop-up grocery store twice a month, because there's not, and what you may not know is, there is not an actual grocery store in the city of Flint. We have to go outside of the city to shop. I'm talking about a major store like your Kroger's or like your Save-A-Lot or whatever. We don't have any of those.
Wow.
In the city of Flint. So we have to go out to shop. So our church will have a pop-up grocery store that we do twice a month, where we do fresh vegetables and fresh fruits and that type of thing, where they help to fight the lead contamination, foods that help to fight the lead content in the body. And this is, you all are just finding out about this, but this has been going on for us for almost 3 years, since 2013. So for a long time, they told us that our water was safe to drink, safe to bathe in, you know, safe to cook with, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. There have been cases of Legionnaires' disease that have, I think, like 92 cases at this point that have transpired within the last 2 or 3 years. So for all this time, up until October last year, when the news actually broke that the water still wasn't safe,
mm-hmm.
all this time, we've been cooking with the water.
Wow.
We've been bathing with the water until they told us to start drinking bottled water in April of last year.
Mm-hmm.
We've been cooking with it.
Wow.
Bathing with it, all of that. And the scripture started coming to my mind. You know, and a lot of times people say, well, you take things out of context. I mean, but this is the word of God that spoke to my situation. So how can I take it out of context? And it said, and if they drink any deadly poison.
Yes, sir.
It shall not harm them.
In no wise harm them, yeah.
We have been unknowingly drinking deadly poison, cooking with lead water, eating in lead water, and drink, but I'm still here thanks to the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what God does. And His word will never fail. He said that His word will not come back void. Now, He said that.
Yeah.
He said it won't come back void. So I'm trusting and believing that, you know, I am safe because He has protected me all this time. So I don't have a problem with it. I have a garage full of bottled water. My basement is full of bottled water. There's bottled water in the living room. There's bottled water in the kitchen. But thanks be to God, I'm still here.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Wow. That is incredible. And so we're praying for Flint and the state of Michigan that, you know, that something is done to resolve this crisis, you know, because even though the grace of God has covered Flint and his people there, even those non-believers in Flint, you know, we still as American citizens deserve, you know, clean water.
Yes,
we deserve that. So.
Yes, sir. It's right. It's a privilege. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Wow. But yeah, you have blessed my soul today with this preaching. I didn't expect to. I didn't expect that from you today, but you have blessed me today.
Bless you, thank you.
Wow,
speaking from my heart.
Yeah, that's right, and that's what the Bible says: from the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, I appreciate hearing all of this today. Quick, what's this lightning round? Before I let you go, Quincy Jones is a great influence of yours musically. I've heard that from yourself, myself actually. I thought I was the only one. Percy Beatty also said the same. Besides Quincy Jones, what musician, past or present, would you love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with?
Valerie Simpson.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
I think she is amazing. I think the way that she and Nick actually wrote tunes together, I thought that was amazing. And if I could just have 5 minutes of her time to pick her brain, I'd be a happy man.
Wow. Okay.
Because their songs have always inspired, and you talked about my other inspiration, Quincy Jones.
Yes.
There's one song that Percy and I both, we love it. It was as good as a song. And Liz simply said, what good is a song if it can't inspire, if it has no message to bring, if a song can't take you higher, then it's not good enough to sing. And I believe that to my heart. And I just love to have 5 minutes to her sit down and say, ask her, how, what, when, where, you know, why? Why do you do what you do? What makes you do it? Those things. Those are the things I'd like to spend time with her at. Yeah, if it had to be one person, it would definitely be Valerie Simpson.
Wow.
Don't get mad at me, Saints. Don't let the Saints get mad at me. You know, I know y'all thought I was going to say somebody from the gospel field, but no. It's how she put things together, how she made those arrangements and made them work. It's just awesome to me. So that's who I'd like to be.
Wow, absolutely. And she's got the real gift. You know, that song said, ain't nothing like the real thing.
And you got that right.
And she's got it. Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Hymns, the limited edition. When will it be available, and how can we get it?
It's supposed to be uploaded to CD Baby today, as a matter of fact, and iTunes today. However, I'm in the process of building my website. It'll be available from my website, but it's going to be available on most digital outlets. And if you want a hard copy, you can contact me via email at ajefflava@gmail.com or through PayPal, and we'll see to it that you get it.
All right, that sounds good enough to me. Y'all, listen, this does not happen every day on Soul Prosper Radio. We're talking to one of the foundational fathers of contemporary gospel music. Yep, I said it. Choir music, everything else. Listen, this guy right here is phenomenal. Listen, if you track down his credits, you'll be reading all day. And God has been good to him, and he's been good to us today in this interview. So once again, thank you very kindly, Mr. A. Elder A. Jeffrey LaValle.
Jeffrey, it's fine, because that's what's
going to
be on my tombstone. Yes, sir.
Wow, indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. I have been tremendously blessed by it.
Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
It's SP Radio.